Our Father, we thank you again for the day, and thank you, Lord, that you're in charge of everything. And Lord, we have just to submit to you, and when we do, you always work things out. We do pray you bless our sister as she goes to her dad, she's sparking her dad today. We pray, Lord, you give them traveling mercy, and in turn, that things will be well, better when they get there. Now, in this hour, we look to you as we open this precious book, the Word of God. Holy Spirit of God, without you, we're helpless. And I pray today, the study it for weeks now will bring this to a point that you can work through this poor vessel and bless those who listen here in the church by radio and by Ustream. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, you will, and turn with me over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I'll read one verse in just a moment. And I want to talk about a little bit God as our Father, but that's not the title. I'll give you the title in just a few minutes. I believe that God has a family. I believe you get into that family by the spiritual birth. Without the spiritual birth, no one on this face of the earth today, and since Jesus Christ rose from the dead, can become a child of God without the spiritual birth. It's so important that a church never forgets that. If we ever try our best to get people to join the church without being born again, you don't have no more than anything else than a religious society. God has a family, and he refers to us in the age of grace as his heavenly Father. And you look in John with me, chapter 8, and you find that down in verse 13, he's talking to the Pharisees, and he presents himself as the way of life, and even says in verse 24, I say therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if we believe not that ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. They didn't understand that, so he said in verse 28, and just to get down to verse 29, he said, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. What's this next phrase? For I do always, say always with me, always. Jesus said, I do always, watch, those things that please him. I want to speak to us this morning, a few minutes, on pleasing our Heavenly Father. Amen. You and I do not decide how we're going to please him. He decides for us how he is pleased. And when we see Jesus talking about, I do always the things that pleases him, that means he is in contact with God to know, and even though he's God in the flesh, God the Father has a role different than God the Son, he has contact to him, and all that he ever does pleases the Father. Yeah. Pleases the Father. Now, I thank God for God's family. Families are a wonderful thing to be around, especially Christian families. God gives us information in his word about what should be done in family. Even Deuteronomy chapter 6, you know, God gives information to Israel how their families are, and parents are to teach their children. And we have no way of getting out of that responsibility. Children have to be taught. And by the way, what God told Israel is just as much for the age of grace as it was for the Old Testament. It's under the Old Covenant, but it's also for the New Covenant, because you don't find, you see, when God gives information in both covenants, he generally lets us see that and doesn't change it. When we talk about the new covenant, we find ourselves being born into the family of God. I don't have to bring a lamb to God today under a new covenant. God changed that for us, and it's better. I don't have to go to the temple and produce a lamb to be part of the family of God or even be part of God's program. My lamb's already come for me 2,000 years ago, and so is yours. You've been saved. So therefore, if you've been washed in the blood of the lamb, on the other hand, if I was under the old covenant, I wouldn't have to take communion. Even though they had the blood, you find not that they're not in the Old Testament, but in the new covenant, there is communion. So I understand the difference between the two covenants and have to get them in line with the dispensation so I can understand what God's doing. But when God gave instruction about what the family should do for the children, that has not changed. He didn't change that because it'll work in any age, any time, any people if they'll follow it. Because he looks at us as a family. I heard the story about the family. Sat down one day at lunchtime, and they had a pretty good crowd there around the table. And the young boy sat there, and as they passed out the first round, they had soup for the appetizer set down in a bowl, and they were talking and having a good time. And one of the little boys of the family said, "Dad," he said, "are bugs good to eat?" And he said, "Son, we don't have time to talk about that. We need to talk about something other than bugs at this particular moment. We'll talk to you about that after dinner. I won't forget it. I'll talk to you after dinner." He said, "Okay, Dad." And so they finished the lunch and everything, and he came to him. He said, "Son, I promise you that I'd get back and talk to you about those bugs. Now, what do you want to ask me about bugs?" He said, "Nothing, Dad." He said, "Well, now, if it's important before dinner, it's important after dinner. What do you want to say and ask me about bugs?" He said, "Well," he said, "I just want to tell you there's a bug in your soup, but he's gone now." Well, you know, there are some times we do need to listen, don't you? Talking about a family. Everybody remembers when you had your first child. Some of you heard this, I'm sure, but it fit in line to the introduction of our message this morning. There were four dads in a waiting room, and they were expecting their first child. And you know, they were sitting there nervous and talking and walking and all the things that dad does, because dads couldn't go into the living room. You had to wait into a waiting room, maternity waiting room. And so here comes the nurse out, the first one. And she said to the first dad, "Congratulations, sir, you have twins." And you know, he said, "Well, isn't that amazing?" He said, "I happen to work with the Minnesota Twins." And a few minutes, another nurse came out, stuck a dad, and said, "Sir, congratulations to you." He said, you have triplets. He said, "You don't say. That's strange." He said, "You know, I work with a 3M company." And then came out the third nurse and said to the dad, "Dad, congratulations, you have quadruplets." He said, "Now that is strange." He said, "I work with the Four Season Hotel." And the fourth man again said, "Oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no." And they said, "What's the matter? What's the matter?" He said, "Fellas, listen to me, I work with a 7-Up store." Well, we're talking about pleasing the Heavenly Father today. God the Son said that I always please, he said, "I always do those things which please him." I wonder how you would summarize the life of Jesus Christ for 33 and a half years he was on this earth. If you had to do it in one phrase or one sentence, how would you summarize his life? In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." Now, that's a tremendous statement, but that gives us what's happened at the end of his life. And you can say everything else led up to that, but a lot of things took place 33 and a half years before he actually did that last event, which was the crowning event that we might have be saved in our day. It's a wonderful biography in chapter 1 in verse 14, where the scripture says this about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, states that Jesus went about doing good. And everybody would have to say amen to that. It goes on and says that healing of all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. But I believe if you look at what Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 29, it probably would be the best autobiography for 33 and a half years of his life. From the time even of his conception until the time that he died, he said, "I do always those things that please him," the Heavenly Father. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, that's a tremendous thing to be able to say that and know it's true. Because I know I want to do that. I know He is my Heavenly Father, that is God of this universe. I know how He became my Heavenly Father. I knew what the procedure was. I did exactly what the procedure was to do to get saved, even though at the time I got saved, didn't understand like I do now. But that's a tremendous thing that could be said about Him. I do always those things that please Him. I notice that Jesus did not say here, "I always think the things I want to do." He did not say that "I always try to plan the things I want to do." But he did not say that sometimes clarifies is different than what he said here. He did not say that "I just want to do it on maybe Easter Sunday and Christmas, or just on Sunday, the first day of the week. No, he didn't say that. When he said, I do always those things, that means every day, every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year, for 33 and a half years, he did that which pleased his heavenly Father. Always. That's serious business. Because God sets the example for us through his Son. And when he says that, he says, but I do always those things that please him. You cannot please God, hear me, you cannot please God the Father unless you do the right thing that pleases him. And he has to tell us what it is. And this Bible is full of it. There's a lot of folks on the planet Earth right now are trying to please God and going about it in a way that God never has one thing to do with it. Because if you don't do it his way, you can't do it right. And so Jesus said, I do always those things. It is not I pleased him in just anything I want to. When Jesus said that, I please him in everything that he requires. And a few weeks ago, I was reading this and I got to think, well now, what is it that God said pleases him? I found the Bible's full of it. I couldn't cover it all today. That God tells us as his children. Now he doesn't tell the unsaved to please him. The only thing they can do to please him is trust Christ as Savior. Because nothing else they do can please him outside the family of God. This is Jesus talking to those who've been saved. He talked about that. If you believe not that I am he, you should die in your sins. He's talking about those who are born into the family of God now. And he's talking about since he is the author of that, and since he's the Son of God incarnated in the flesh, and since he is the one that we become sons of God through, then we should listen to him about what he says in pleasing his heavenly Father. Because if you're saved, God is your heavenly Father. Oh, you didn't know that? God is your heavenly Father if you're born into the family of God. And we have to understand our Father. Hey, when you were at home, you didn't set the rules of your dad's home. I didn't set the rules. I didn't like some of the rules. And some of the rules were unfair for me because I had an unsaved dad at the time I was at home. But I'm telling you, he had a right to set the rules because he was there. But God, the Father, has a right to set his rules. And we got a textbook here full of that. And it amazes me how much we can break rules because we think God should be pleased how we want him to be pleased rather than lining up what he says to be pleased. By the way, he's beyond you and I. He deserves to be listened to when he speaks and tells us these things. Did you know? Jesus said again, I do always those things that please him. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, he says, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that seek him. So I know this, without faith, it's impossible to please God, who is my heavenly Father. On the other hand, ladies and gentlemen, I cannot please him in faith unless I start with the channel of faith through his Son. To be born into the family, did you know, hey, I could not even try to please my earthly father unless I'd been born physically. Amen? I had to be born physically to understand what physical life is. And there's no way that we can please the spiritual God who is our Heavenly Father unless we've been born again. Amen. And it fits right into the laws that God sets forth for us in this life. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, the Bible talks about Enoch walked with God. And he was not because God took him. And it's interesting because in Hebrews chapter 11, he makes this statement that got my heart this past week. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see God and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, watch this, he had this testimony. Before God translated him into heaven without dying, he has never died. Enoch never died. He's coming back one day to do that in God's plan and purpose. But he said he was translated to heaven. And notice he said he had this testimony that he, Enoch, pleased God. What a great testimony. And he didn't talk about pleasing society and the world. He's talking about pleasing God. And this is what fascinates me as I see this. And you cannot please the Father unless you do that which he says do. Now, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, Paul said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I love that because when I see in context what he is saying, he's giving some tremendous information. He's talking about understand the difference in walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit. And again, in Galatians chapter 5 And about chapter 5, I get it right in verse 16. He said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." A statement. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not. It's not you will. It's not you might not. If you walk in the Spirit, he said, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then he said, watch verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But, watch this, if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, notice, works of the law, works of the flesh. You're not under the law which condemns and so forth as far as the flesh is concerned. But notice now, the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these. And he names a bunch of these at this particular time. And so he says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 states this, as he gives a messianic psalm. He says, I delight, that is speaking of what Christ would say when he come, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. In other words, Jesus Christ in times past, in present, and the future, always had in his heart as the Son of God to obey what God said do. Also, you look with me, and you'll notice that what was God's will then for Jesus Christ? And that's what we're asking now. He's going to please the Heavenly Father, and he always did that which was within his will. Then what would it be? In Luke chapter 2, verse 49, Jesus says, young boy, 12 years old, wish you not that I must be about my Father's business? Now, all these things that took place from the birth until the time he died 33 and a half years later, ladies and gentlemen, all these things were part of God's business, leading to his reason for coming on this earth. Jesus pleased the Father in his birth, in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection. He never ceased anywhere from the time that he, as far as I'm concerned, conceived until the time that he became the sin debt for you and I. God said the Bible in Isaiah 42:1 says, the Lord is well pleased for his righteous sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. That is the law itself. In Matthew 17, verse 5, God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then he said, hear ye him. In other words, God said, listen, you're looking in this book, and you're trusting in Jesus Christ as my Son, then watch his life. Listen to what he says, and when you do, make it part of your life. And so this is, we see that not only did he say that, he said, hear ye him. There's three other places in Mark 3:17, Mark 1:11, and Luke 3:22. He said, this is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased. He didn't say, hear ye them at right that time. He did say that, though, in Mark 17, verse 5. In Acts 2, verse 22, Peter stated that Jesus was a man approved of God. In Romans chapter 15, verse 3, Paul said, for even Christ pleased not himself, but it's written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Jesus Christ is consuming passion on this earth, ladies and gentlemen, in his life was to just please the Father. What a summation of his life. It may not mean much to you, but it means something to me after 54 years serving God. I began to see that phrase that I always do that which pleases him. In his heart was real. It wasn't, maybe so, I think I will, I believe, maybe I end up doing it. It was his heart's desire. That was the only thing that mattered in Jesus Christ's life while he was here. And that caused him to do the other things that needed to do as a man this side of eternity. Again, Jesus' consuming passion was just to please the Father. Now, probably the most miserable people in this world are the people who try to please themselves before trying to please God. Because when you try to please yourself, standards change. I want this! You get it and you want something else. You gotta say amen to that. You live there. Or I want to get this. I have my rights. And you get your rights and you want more rights. I mean, that's the way we are. We're never satisfied or never content here in this particular life. I want you to know that's mine and nobody else is going to have. This attitude comes from the flesh and the fallen nature that we have of Adam. But you know something, ladies and gentlemen, you will not fully enjoy those things that you get if you get them. Why? They never satisfy. Things never satisfy. But I'm going to tell you this. The heart, Jesus Christ could have anything he wanted. If he didn't have it, he could have it. He could speak into existence if he wanted to. But you know, in himself, showing the purity he was, the power that he had, his desire in his heart, the Son of God, was to do only that which pleases his heavenly Father for 33 and a half years. That blows my mind. That means in every state of his life is planned. Every thought, everything he said, everything was planned in his mind because his desire was to please the heavenly Father. I want to give you five quick points, and I mean it to be quick. Your standard keeps changing. Complete happiness never comes trying to please yourself. Why? Because our standards keep changing. If I'm trying to please myself, and that's the only thing it means in this world, then when I get to the point, I think, I get that. Hey, every last one of us have things now that poor 25, 30 years ago, people said, if I had that, I'd be satisfied. I've got things that I've been satisfied 50 years ago. Man, I'd have thought what I have now, if I had then, it would last. I wouldn't be, there would be no more anything I want. But I found this out. No matter what I get, I want more. Now, somebody's going to have to help control that. I can't do it by myself. By the way, I got news. You can't either. You need outside help, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. And you need to understand, because he will not work through anything except the word that God gives us. He works through people. Did you know that many times that God gives instruction to the family, God will not work in a family unless he works through those he says he worked through in the family. God will not work in this world except those he said he worked through. I don't know why he chose that way, but he said, I'll empower you if you will do what I say do. I'll empower. Everybody won't like you. Everybody won't love you. But you will find out that you, if you're going to please me, that's how you please me. What I say do. Now, I know this. God knows if I try to please him or not. I don't know about you, but I've been touring my life the last few weeks. God knows whether if I'm trying to please him or not. He knows if I'm faking or not faking it. You don't. There's no way in the world you can tell every time where I'm faking or not faking it. But I tell you this, God can. God can see my heart even when I'm doing something and the world sees actions and my motive not even be right. So I'm saying to you, if I want to please him, then there's some things I need to know. He knows how I am. God knows also when I try to please him or don't try to please him. He knows that I'm in an imperfect body. He knows I have my ways, many times it often fails, in this fleshly body. But listen to me. He also knows the hours I spend in this book and prayer and in my study and by myself in this auditorium and praying about what God wants in my life. He knows my heart's desire that I want to please him more than anything else in this world. And yet on the other hand, I fail him, for Jesus never failed. And so will you. Does that mean that I should not have the desire to try to please him because I know there are times in his word I see my failure? No, that means I should try harder. And so should you, ladies and gentlemen. Your desire should be to please God only if it means checking everything you do. And yet realize in a body of flesh you will fail. But don't let that keep you from trying. So when I see what Jesus said, I'll never be to meet his criteria in this body. Maybe in the glorified body one day I will. But in this body I fail. But he set a goal. And the goal is that what he said, I do always those things that please him. Now if I want to please him, my heart desires that I want to please him, my heavenly body, but please my heavenly Father. But if I want to please him, then number two, I must find out biblically what pleases him, not what someone says. I must open this book and prayerfully approach biblically what God says I must do to please him, because everything else is vain. Thank you. Everything else is vain. It's not playing church. This is walking in a way that God can filtrate our mind and heart with his word. I began many, many weeks ago, not reading through the Bible this time, but I read a chapter
in the Psalms, and I read a chapter in the Proverbs, and I read a chapter in the New Testament every day. Sometimes I miss it due to a schedule. But what I'm saying is, I'm telling the Psalms tell me about life, Proverbs tell me more about life, and the New Testament tells me what the new covenant is for my life. And then I'll find, if I need to, go from the New Testament to Old Testament, I can go back to see what those things were done to help me understand why God let me read or gave me those things that I might study out in the life. So again, I must find out biblically what pleases Him. Now in Romans chapter 8, turn there if you will, please. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 8, Paul made this statement. He says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now that throws a kind of a cog in the machine. Because I'm in the flesh. Then what are you talking about, Lord? I'm in the flesh. You're in the flesh. You mean that because I'm in this flesh I can't please God? Well, he certainly tells us there's ways you can. If you go back and look with me in verse 5, read through these, you'll see what he's saying. He kind of, for they that are in the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, those who are not saved don't know one thing but except the flesh. You and I, if you've been saved, God has gave us His Spirit. He says, now you have before you life of the flesh and the life of the Spirit. You've had X years to know about the flesh. Now you're going to have to get in this book to find out about the Spirit. And the Spirit is in conflict with each other. Watch. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. In other words, if my mind is constantly carnal on everything it has to do in this world, he said, what is you finding that you are actually occupying in a field, operating in a field of the flesh when you have the Spirit to understand that you can take the Spirit and control the flesh? Without the Spirit, you can't do that. And that's what he's telling us in Romans 8. Go through and read it. He said, because the carnal mind is aimed against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That simply says to me, in this body of flesh, whatever I'm doing, it's never subjected to God's word or unto the law of God. It is that in me, the new creation is going to have to help me bring it into control, if it ever be brought into control. And that means that it will be an operation of life. And there will be certain conflicts in life that you will fail. But your overall life will be operating in the Spirit. Because you and I are going to find failure in this life as long as you and I are here this side of eternity. But the new creation is there for us to move. God will help us, but He won't help. If we don't hide this book in our heart, if we don't want His will more than anything else, then the flesh will take over and many times shame the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to keep that from happening is to pray that God help us grow spiritual enough that we will, after periods of being saved, be able to control that flesh or bring it in subjection, and that's what he's talking about here. So then that they're in the flesh, right? Because the carnal man is even against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so then that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But, watch this. Now he said, those that are in the flesh cannot please God. What's the but, though? Look in verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Wait a minute. When I say, Paul, you mean to tell me, I look in the mirror every day and I see this, my face. I see this body. I see it. I see it. Don't tell me I'm not in the flesh. But wait a minute. You don't understand. It's your walk I'm talking about here. And watch what he said. He said, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, that takes you back. You got to be sure that you're saved but not be a reprobate. If the Spirit of God dwelt in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Amen. You get the Spirit of God when you get saved. Ladies and gentlemen, eternity and hellfire is too bad to not have it right. It's got to be right. We can't listen to every voice that comes along. We better say, God, I want to know the truth. You are the truth. Let me find that. If this is your word, let me find it. If it's not, let me find your word. It's too important to play with. And then he goes on and he said, and if Christ be in you, I love that. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. Your operation of life will be that in turn over a period of years manifest with all your failures. You'll learn from your failures and manifest what God is to you and to this world. Now watch verse 11. But the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He will raise up Christ from the dead. That raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwell in you. He said, when you have him in you, and this body that is dead now, he'll rise up in you, that new creation in turn, so that those who are saved will be able to see who I am. They may find a failure sometime, point to that. It's all right. I've got to know my overall life is what it should be. And that's what's so important about the Christian life. Then watch what he said, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live out the flesh. Watch verse 13. For if we live after the flesh, if we practice generally all the time after the flesh, ye shall die. But watch. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now what does it mean? It means that creation in here. You may have a failure here. You may have, and by the way, you will. Satan will bring it up all the time. But what he's saying, that if you find yourself operating in the Spirit that God says that proves who you are, not a reprobate, you find that God gives you that strength to work on this body. And when it comes up something wrong, you mortify it. You kill it. You put it down. And you move on from that. And something else happens. You put it down. But it isn't an wallowing in sin over and over every day of your life to the day you die. Do you not understand that, folks? I mean, Paul is telling something here about our Father and what we can do to please him. So that means simply, I may have some problems in life, but I can stay clean before God because I have access to him through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I love what he says about this. Again, I must find out biblically what he is saying. And of course, what does God enjoy? What does he love? What pleases him? Colossians 1:19, the Father is pleased when we exalt the Son. It says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. He's talking about, how do you do that? He's talking about singing about the Son. He's talking about preaching about the Son, talking about the Son, exalting Jesus Christ. Jesus, the sweetest name we know. What a friend we have in Jesus. These things are love are done because we love him. Now, love is a factor about our God that we don't comprehend. Question, how can you tell just how much God loves you or loves this world? The Bible teaches us in John 3:16 that he so loved the world. John is trying to do the impossible. When I try to speak of the love of God, I'm doing the impossible. You can't explain it. It's beyond our thinking. And you see what Christ did. He's trying to do the impossible. John could not measure John 3:16. So what he did at that time, he could not weigh it. He could not describe it. It was beyond his explaining. Yet it was real. So when the Holy Spirit moved on into right, the Holy Spirit could not give him any way to measure it except God so loved the world. The word so emphasizes his love. It's unexplainable. And yet it's real. You can have it, but you never begin to understand it because our love is fickle compared to what God's love is. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's trying to do the impossible. Some objects are very easy to preach on, but God's love is not easy to preach on. Oh, it's easy to talk about. It's easy to proclaim. But when you understand it, I do the best I can. I use the words and vocabulary that I have, but I fail. No person can do God justice about his love. You can't weigh it. You can't describe it. You can't explain beyond a certain point. But as I look at it and I understand no person can do God's love justice, but I must keep trying to tell somebody about Jesus Christ because it pleases the Father, if for no other reason. You say, the world's not going to accept him. Well, that's all right. Still please the Father. That's the reason I go soul winning. That's the reason I try to witness to people. Because I know this, they may turn me down. That's the reason when I've been laughed at, cussed at, asked to leave, I've been called names like no telling what these 54 years I've been doing. But when I leave, I begin to find now in the last few months, the real reason I do it is because that's a means of showing love to the Father. Because preaching of the gospel is the only way God has chosen people to get saved anyhow. And I don't mean just as a preacher, that means just giving that gospel out. Many times I get criticized for it. I get laughed at. I get called a fanatic. But I'm going to keep on telling about Jesus Christ. It may not please the city council. It may not please the politician. It may not please society. But I know this. It pleases our Heavenly Father. It pleases him. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1,
And verse 21, the Bible says, For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. Save them that believe. He talks about that. Acts 4:19, verse 20 says, if we, and the apostle said this, if we cannot, but he said, for we cannot speak of those things that we have seen and heard. We cannot speak anything about those things that we've seen and heard. And he goes on, he said, in fact, he's talking about no matter what that council said to them, the only thing they knew is what they knew about Jesus Christ. Now, I am a fanatic about Jesus Christ. I make no bones about it, folks. Yeah, I know. You preach about it all the time. You're going to keep hearing preach as long as I live. I believe that's the reason I love souls so much. It's because God has put it in your heart. Could it be that you don't go soul winning because you don't love souls? You see, souls, and nowadays it's hard to reach someone it was years ago, but God still didn't save you, soul saving men. You know why? Because he ain't come back to the church yet. He's still there, and I thank him for that. We try to witness, and every time I witness, I get credit for that then at that time because I did what we're doing what the Lord said to do. But I am going to keep telling about Jesus Christ. For, as the apostle said again, for we cannot but speak of the things, those things we have seen and heard. Loving people will direct them correctly. When you get people saved, they have the capacity to understand what's going on and move them in a direction. I must find out biblically what pleases my Heavenly Father. And I know this. The gospel of Jesus Christ given to man pleases him. The Father is pleased also when you do that which is good. He says that in Hebrews 13 and down about verse 16. And notice how he put it. He said, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices is God well pleased. In other words, communicate, not only that you find yourself doing those and communicating, that is doing the things in life, helping those people need help, the poor, down and out, reaching those who are not saved, giving yourself to the Lord for the purpose, in turn, to communicate them the gospel of Jesus Christ. For these sacrifices, he said, God's well pleased. Father's pleased when we love one another. In David's psalm, in these three verses in Psalm 133, always amazing me. David said this, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ornament upon the head that ran down upon the beard, he said, of Aaron, and beard that went down to the skirt of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing before evermore. John 15, verse 12. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So I know it pleases the Father to love one another. I know it pleases the Father when we are fruitful. He said in Colossians, fruitful in Colossians chapter 1 in verse 10. He said this, Paul said, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Watch this, increasing in the knowledge of God. Without increasing in the knowledge of God, you don't know how to be fruitful. And increasing in the knowledge of God gives you the advantage to know what is fruitful. And then the Spirit can speak to us through his word that we do those things that please him at that particular time. And then I also know, do you know what would do more good? And I thought about this early this morning. Do you know what would do more good for this church next Sunday than any songs we sing or any messages we preach? You know what it would be? Somebody win one soul to the Lord and they walk down this aisle of open commitment. That'll revolutionize the church. Because what'll happen is we can have the songs and build our flesh up and leave happy and be gone the time we hit the first problem. We can find ourselves, you know, hearing a message, say, well, that's good today, and forget it the time we get out there. But if you see someone saved, you walk the aisle and you see them be born into the family of God, there's something in you, if you're saved, will spiritualize you in a way you can't explain. Because there's rejoicing in heaven when one is saved. There's going to be rejoicing here if you are saved. Because you're going to say, there's another snatched from the pit of hell. Get one soul. Then the Father is pleased when we praise him. Psalm 69, verse 31, 30 and 31. David gave this type of thing in praise. He said this in 69, verse 30. So I'll praise the name of God with a song, and I'll magnify him with thanksgiving. He said, this also shall please the Lord. I like verse 31 because he said, this also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that have horns and hoofs. Now, what he's saying, that's what they did at the temple. That's what they did at Tabernacle. They took animals
to please God for the confession of sin. But he said, what he said in 40, I would praise the name of God with a song, and we magnify him with thanksgiving. To do that, you're right with God anyhow. He said, that's better, showing who you are, than giving a sacrifice at the temple. Thank God our sacrifice has already been given. So the question we have, are we interested in pleasing the Lord or not? That's my question. I asked that weeks now on this message. I know in Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul reminds us, as he made this statement, in chapter 1, he talks about himself. He said, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I see it please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He said, if I desire to please men other than God, I cannot be a servant of Christ. And he goes on, he said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For if it was, man would be pleased with it, but after God. For I entered, he said, I neither received a man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's what God will do for you if you stay in this book like we should and give the time to it. So I must find out what pleases God the Father. I know it pleases him that I walk in his will. I know it pleases him to do what I can in goodness, love one another, be fruitful. I know it pleases him that I praise him. I know it pleases him that I give the gospel out. Well, that's the means that God Almighty saves people. Now, it is not what I can get out of it. It's not how much can I put into the bank, or what car I drive, or what kind of a house that I can live in. It's not what's in it for me. And here's the thing, it's not about me, it's not about you. It's about him. That's the whole criteria of our lives. And the thing about it is, this is message that in the age of grace of our day, people don't want to hear. It's much better to go to the mega church and have a good party like week and leave, and then you don't help you with your troubles when you face with it. This will help you with your troubles. And I know it helps me and it'll help you. It is not about me. And I pray, Holy Spirit, this morning, and I think you should look at this. Please help me to know how to please my Heavenly Father. As I find, there's many more I don't have time to go through. You go through sometimes a number of places where it says how God is pleased and put it in context. And you'd be surprised what God will do. Please help me to try to do those things that please my Heavenly Father. I may not always do it like Jesus, and I won't because Jesus was perfect, but he's my goal. I can try. So can you. It is a choice as a child of God. Just as much so for me to choose Christ when he came to me about and laid out the plan of salvation in my heart and I could stay where I was at or go with him. The same thing here. It's a choice that I can decide to walk in the Spirit with God's help. And that's how I know that I can please him. Others won't understand that. But at least you know God will be pleased with it yourself. And when you choose right, here, help us. Here is where those who do not do what is right will attack you. Here's where people will find yourself in this world going against you. These are the ones who will slam the door in your face when you try to win someone to the Lord from time to time. Why? They have no idea that you're concerned about their soul. They think you're trying to get a convert. They're trying to get a number. I'm glad God don't give us the number that we see say. He gives the ones we witness to. It's up to him to do the same. You and I can't do that. So I say to you this morning, your starting point of pleasing the Lord, of pleasing our Heavenly Father, is testimony or trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. This whole thing I've talked about now, and I'm through, is starting out at Calvary and trusting Christ as Savior. Because I don't have no idea. The first thing on God's agenda for me to do is to trust him to please God the Father. And then I become a child. So do you. You remember the day you got saved? You remember that time? That's the day I got saved. Now, from there to the end, I should be growing enough to say, Dear Father, my life will fail in a lot of places. There'll be places that people throw darts at me, fire darts from the pit of hell sometimes. It'd be that. And by the way, will you? I'm talking about the world now. I'm talking about the world don't understand. God's people are children. We as children, ladies and gentlemen, understand what God tells us to do. I know what I need to do as a child of God with other brothers and sisters. I know what I need to do. Amen? Don't we all? We know what we need to do. We're not talking, we're family, but I'm talking about outside the world. That's where the attacks come so much in our day, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse as we get to the end of days. So it starts with Calvary, when you and I trust Jesus Christ as Savior. It starts there. And now, from that day until God gets us home, our desire should be, Holy Spirit, you wrote this book. Help me hide this book in my heart. Not only would it help me not sin against you, Lord, but it'd help me understand what pleases my Heavenly Father. And dear Jesus, you said I do always those things that please our Heavenly Father. That is every desirous child of God's desire. If not, they just can't be saved. They want to please the Heavenly Father. That's all that matters. But we have so many baggage in this life that hinders us. So please help us overcome those things that we might please our Heavenly Father. Would you stand to your feet, please? Our Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for these people that are here. Dear Father, bless those who are here in a few minutes on the radio. Bless those, Lord, that are here on the Ustream. And nothing blessing my heart any more than understand that when God, someone hears a message, and I get calls every once in a while, I say, preacher, that really blessed my heart. Helps me understand, Lord, there are some things that we're doing halfway right. Please help someone today who may be on the border of fence to fall one way or the other. Understand that God loves us who are saved as much so as he loved us before we were saved. Even though we can't explain and weigh that word love, God said he so loved us. The so emphasizes the love. Help us understand this thing about pleasing our Heavenly Father. Please forgive us when we fail you. Please, Father, help us override those when someone will take something in our life and hang it over our head, even though we know it's under blood. Dear Father, let us be the child that wants to please you. Help someone see Jesus as Savior today, because that's the starting point. If there's one person listening to my voice here or by radio or Ustream, not saved, there's no way they can please God the Father except to believe the record that God gave of his Son. Please help us with that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.